for our scripture this morning. I will be reading from God's Word, from the words of our compassionate Heavenly Father, John 11, 1 through 7. And for this particular passage of scripture, our theme will be the loving purposes of God in when He delays answering our prayers or changing our circumstances or even guiding us. That God has sovereign, gracious purposes in the delays in our life. Before we read the passage of Scripture of John 11, 1 through 7, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Your perfect wisdom and love, You included this story that shows us that there are delays in Your love, that when You delay, it is often because of Your love. Your love that is intended to lead us more closely into a relationship with You. We pray that through this passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit would fill us with renewed faith and renewed strength and renewed encouragement. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 11, 1 through 7. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to Him saying, "Lord, he whom You love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, He said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that Lazarus was ill, He stayed 2 days longer in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Now, an old story tells of a farmer who had a mule for sale. He wanted to sell this mule, and he claimed that this mule would do whatever he was commanded to do. So one prospective customer was somewhat leery of this particular claim and decided to put the owner and the mule to the test. So he said to the mule, "Sit down." But the mule just stood there. So he said, "Sit." He yelled. But nothing happened. He turned to the farmer and he said, "You claim this mule will do anything he's told, but I told him to sit. He won't sit. I can't get him to do anything I've asked him to do, especially to sit." The farmer just smiled. He reached down. He grabbed a 2x4. He walked up to the mule. He hit him on the head and he said, "Sit." And the mule immediately sat down. So turning to the shocked customer, he said, "The first thing you have to do is get his attention." Some of us are like that mule, aren't we? One of the reasons God allows adversity in our lives is to get our attention so that we will glorify Him more and more through our lives, so that God would be greatly glorified through our lives. It's easy to get caught up in the activities of our lives, in the overscheduling of our lives, in our ambitions and our anxieties, so that we grow spiritually insensitive to our need for God. So adversity is sovereignly designed by the Lord to make His glory our priority. Look at verses 5 and 6 of our passage. No sooner are we told that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus that we also find the report when He, Jesus, had heard that Lazarus was ill, he delayed 2 days longer in Bethany. This means that Jesus delayed 2 more days in Bethany after he had heard the report that his dear friend Lazarus was sick. So instead of rushing immediately to heal Lazarus and to comfort Martha and Mary, Jesus deliberately delayed 2 days longer. And then by the time he left where he was and got to Bethany to Mary and Martha, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And the passage means for us to understand that it was because of love for Mary and Martha and Lazarus that Jesus delayed 2 days longer. Now that may not make sense to us. We would think, well, if Jesus loves them so much, he would rush immediately to their aid. But Jesus often delays because he intends to demonstrate in love he can handle any situation in our lives. Are you experiencing delays today? Maybe your delay is answered prayer. Maybe your delay is you've asked God for direction and there doesn't seem to be that clear direction for a decision, a life-altering decision you need to make. Maybe your delay is removing the circumstances from your life that you wish were removed. But God always delays in his children's lives out of love for us. So we'll look at 4 points. The 4 points of God's delay are our delays are not out of God's indifference, but love. His delays, number 2, have positive purposes. His delays, number 3, are delays until God acts at always the right time. And point number 4, God never delays what we most need for the time. So point number 1, our delays are not out of indifference, but out of sovereign love. So Christ's delays are delays out of love. The passage clearly teaches this great truth. For the point is that Jesus stayed where he was instead of going to Bethany immediately because he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, we may not understand this. And so much in life we do not understand, and we need to entrust what we don't understand to God. Because if we were in Christ's place, we would have immediately, perhaps, returned to Bethany to come to the aid of our friend Lazarus and our friends Mary and Martha. Or at least we would think we should come to their aid, especially if a dear friend of ours is sick, and enter into their pain and their circumstances. Yet Jesus doesn't do this. He stays where he is. It is only after 2 days that he finally goes off to Bethany, and by the time he gets to Martha first, and after that to Mary, and then to Lazarus, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Brothers and sisters, and those of you listening, we cannot see the end from the beginning. Only God can. There, we cannot see that God's delays contribute to the overall plan that he's working out in our lives to draw us closer to him, to refine our love for him, to deepen our trust in him, to cause us to experience more of his grace and more of his love, by putting us in predicaments that we cannot handle in our own strength. Moreover, in our grief, we sometimes often cannot even see what God has revealed about his plan for us. God might have made his plan clear to us, and through our grief, we've forgotten his promises. We've forgotten his word. It's hard to see through eyes filled with tears. So the main takeaway here is that even though we cannot see how a situation will end or why it is even happening to us, the delays of God flow from Christ's love and are controlled by it. That is the big takeaway from this message. Christ's delays are delays of love designed not for our dishonor, but for His glory and the glory of His grace at work in our lives. Therefore, His delays are to be interpreted in the light of His love. And there are a couple of related truths from this main truth. The main truth, even though we cannot see how the circumstances will end or why God has permitted it, the delays, they flow from His love. The first thing we have to realize is delays in our life do not flow from God's indifference to our uncertainty and difficulties and trials. In human relationships, there are times when delays in people being faithful to their promises are done because they're indifferent to our needs. But that is never true when it comes to God. In fact, Jesus told a story in Luke 18, 1 through 8, to emphasize that when God delays to answer prayers, we are to continue to persistently ask those prayers, unless God clearly shows us it's not His will, because God is never indifferent to our prayers. The story is about a judge and a widow, and a widow was being treated unjustly by another person. And so this widow kept coming to this judge for justice. And this judge was a hard man. This judge was a very selfish man who only thought about what would promote him. So as often as that widow came, he would not listen to her. He refused to hear her case. She was not getting justice because of his indifference. But finally, because she kept bringing this unending request for justice, he reasoned, "I'm going to act and get this woman off my back so that I can go on my merry way with my life." And so this unjust judge did justice. And the point Jesus was making here is that not that Jesus is like the judge or that God the Father is like the judge, but rather it's a contrast. He's saying, look, if an unjust judge who's indifferent to the hurt and pain of even a widow will respond to her request, how much more will God who loves you? How much more will God who is perfectly just respond to your prayers to Him? Though He delays, He will be faithful to you in answering your prayers according to His will. Listen, brothers and sisters, you have a God who hears your prayers. You have a God who listens carefully to your prayers. You have a God who is perfectly just and perfectly loving and perfectly wise. You have a God who knows the perfect way at the perfect time to answer your prayers for your good and His glory. So if God's delaying, it's not because He's indifferent to you. There's another point here. And the point is this. Jesus is acquainted with your grief. Though we know God's delays are delays of love, it is also true that it is hard to suffer. Yes. It is very hard to suffer. It's especially hard to suffer for a long time. But Jesus went through it all before us. He asks us to suffer. He ordains suffering. But Jesus went through unspeakable suffering, all the sufferings we have before us. He feels your hurt. He knows your pain. And his delays flow out of love. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one tempted in all ways just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly. He suffered on the cross, and yet he triumphed. And so will you. This sickness, this loss of work, this pain from an unsaved loved one will result in the glory of God. Take heart. When Jesus tests you, he walks with you through the test. He's not indifferent. Point two, there are positive purposes that God has in our delays. When we say that we are to let God be God, we are to trust that even in his delays, God is loving, and therefore we are to focus on the positive purposes that the Lord has in delays. His delays are always purposeful. Therefore, it pleases God for us to seek his purposes in our delays, in our trials, in our sufferings. It would be presumptuous for us to think that we can figure out in detail all of God's purposes, all of the time, and all of the circumstances of our life. That's presumptuous. Our ways are not God's ways. God's ways are different than our ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We cannot see the end from the beginning. Only God can. But we can entrust ourselves to God and search the scriptures and seek his purposes in his delays in a general way. You know, some things are so important to God that he will even interrupt the comfortability and health of his children to accomplish his purposes. That's an astounding truth of Scripture. That some things are so important to God to work into our lives because they're best for us, that he'll even interrupt our comfortability and even our health to accomplish his positive purposes. So what would the positive purposes of God be in delays? Well, number one, so often through the delays of God, God shows us our errant will and molds our errant will to conform to his perfect will. God conforms our errant will to his perfect will through delays. You know, when God answers us immediately, often the case is that we rush on to formulate our next plans and forget to live in thankfulness and praise to him for the way he's interceded and acted in our lives. I know I've done that, and I'm sure we've all done that. We think, well, what will come next? God answered my prayer. I'm going to move on with my life instead of stopping to really learn from the circumstance and from his intervention in our lives. We become spiritually insensitive to God. But when God delays, we're forced to ask these questions. Am I right in what I am trying to do? Is this God's will? Does Jesus have more to teach me than I've been willing to learn? Lord, I've forgotten you. I need to remember and return to you as my first love. You know, one of the great prayers we can learn to pray is this. Lord, I want what you want. When I don't want what you want, you change my wanter, so I'll want what you want. Lord, you put the pressure on me to the extent that I will need to be obedient and aligned to your will, because that is what I want. So if you think of the illustration of the Israelites in the wilderness, here they're moving on through the wilderness for 40 years. Why did God do that? Why did he delay, keep them in the wilderness? Well, he was teaching them to be obedient, because they had not been obedient. And he was fashioning them and shaping them to make them into the fighting force he could use to defeat his and their enemies in the land of Canaan. So if God has you in a desert, in a wilderness, in a period of delay, he's seeking to conform your will and mold it more to his will. Number two purpose, he strengthens our faith. He strengthens our faith. God is after the fortification of our faith. He's fortifying our faith. Our faith does not strengthen much. If God were to answer all of our longings and prayers immediately, even though we might think it would, instead, our faith grows when we are forced to wait, trusting that God knows what he is doing with our lives. Brothers and sisters, God knows what he's doing with my life and your life, and he'll eventually fulfill his promises in his time for his glory. We see this in the life of Abraham as a great illustration. Here is Abraham, who God had promised him he would have a son. And as a result of a son, when he was 75, he would have a great posterity. But that son did not come. In fact, that son did not come until many years later. Through all that time of God delaying that promise, and Abraham having to wait on God to fulfill it, did Abraham's faith weaken? Did Abraham's faith die? No. Through that long period of delay and waiting, his faith grew more than it had ever grown before, because he needed to wait on the power and the faithfulness of God. In fact, his faith grew so much that when he was 99, approximately 24 years after he was given the promise of a son, at 99, Abraham willingly changed his name from Abram, the father of tribes, to Abraham, the father of many peoples. He was trusting that God would be faithful and give him that son, though that son had not come yet. And after Abraham willingly changed his name from Abram to Abraham, that next year God gave him Isaac. So God strengthens our faith. The third thing God does here is that our predicaments become God's opportunities. Our predicaments become God's opportunities. In other words, the Lord delays in our life to glorify himself. Jesus was glorified because the death and resurrection of Lazarus proved that Jesus could handle any and every situation. The story tells us that Jesus delayed his return to Bethany until Lazarus was dead 4 days. If you read verses 43 and 44 of John 11, when Jesus finally gets to Bethany and he meets Mary and Martha and he goes to Lazarus' tomb, Jesus is about to call Lazarus from the grave, and the sisters say, "Lord, he's going to stink because he's been dead 4 days." In other words, Jesus got himself in a predicament by delaying, because now Lazarus is dead. But Jesus intentionally got himself in a predicament that only Jesus could handle. to demonstrate how glorious and great he is. And you know, God works in all of our lives at many times in the same way. When the Lord God Almighty wants us to trust him, he puts us in a difficult place. When he wants us to learn to trust him greatly, he puts us in an impossible place so that it will be proved. Because often we think our ingenuity and our wills and the arm of the flesh, our own strength, can get us out of predicaments. So God puts us in a difficult predicament that only he can handle. So we say, Lord, I am nothing. Only you could have delivered me in this situation. Only you could have provided for me in this situation. And he gets all the glory and all the praise. Our predicaments are God's opportunities. What is the delay for? It is for your family. It is for your friends. It is for your acquaintances. It is for bystanders so that they'll see the glory of Christ through you. But God says it's also for me. It's for my glory and for my praise. So when you're in the predicaments of life, you will learn that I am worthy of your trust and love. Now, point number three. So we've seen that there God's delays are not because he's indifferent, but because he loves us. We've seen there are positive purposes in God's delays. And three, he always provides the help in the perfect time. So I give you this challenge. Learn to interpret your circumstances by the love of Christ and not Christ's love by your circumstances. Learn to interpret your circumstances by Christ's love and not Christ's love by your circumstances. Let God be God. Christ's delays are delays of love. If we interpret Christ's love for us from our circumstances, we're going to wind up doubting that he loves us at all. We're going to wind up not even understanding the Lord's will for us in our circumstances. So start with the love of Christ and affirm right now, Lord, I know you love me. You proved your love by dying for me on the cross of Calvary. And I will trust that you who died for me are certainly going to do what is good for me and best for me. That through this delay, you will draw me closer to yourself. God's help comes at the right time. God's clock is different from my clock and your clock, isn't it? In our day, there's 12 hours. In God's day, there's 1,000 years. What seems so long to us is short to our great God. Therefore, let's not imitate the short-sighted impatience of the disciples who said, a little while? A little while we're going to go? You know, 2 days and 48 hours must have seemed like an eternity to Mary and Martha when their brother was dying. But oh, that time that was such a weight, a crushing weight to them, when Jesus raised their brother and returned him to them, that crushing weight completely disappeared in the joy of having their brother back. Don't judge God's timing by your own finite, fallible mind. God always delivers at the right time. He's never too soon and he's never too late. He's always the master of circumstances. You know, we see that in a story about Peter in Acts 12. Here is Peter. Herod has killed James, the brother of John. And the religious leaders liked that so much, Herod arrested Peter and thought, well, I'll kill him too. And the church prayed. And while the church prayed, Peter's still in prison. Herod's plan is, well, after the Passover, I'll kill him. So for 7 days, the church prays. At least 7 days. And then, one by one, the days go by. And the night before, Peter is to be put to death. Not a day sooner, not a day later. The angel comes into the prison. The gates flung open. Peter's chains drop. There's no hurry. God's working. Peter, put on your sandals. You don't even have to run away. Put on your sandals, the angel said. An angel waited. Peter put on his sandals. Put on your robe. Put on his robe. And they went out. God is always right on time. That's why we're to bless the Lord at all times. And then last, the help we most need, the best help, will always be right on time. In other words, God will always provide what we need, what we most need at the time as we wait for what is delayed. The help we need in the all-sufficiency of God's grace will not be delayed. Isaiah 65:24 says, while you're yet calling, I will answer. And while you're yet speaking, I will deliver. In other words, when we cry out to God for grace and sufficiency to bear up under the difficulties of waiting, when we cry out to God for salvation, when we cry out to God for peace, when we cry out to God for wisdom, that God will not delay, that He'll immediately give us what we need. Isn't that wonderful? That what we need the most, what we need from God that is best, God will not delay. We're told in Matthew 14 about the story of Peter, who saw Jesus approaching him. Jesus is walking on the water, approaching Peter in the boat. And Peter thinks, well, if Jesus has the power to walk on the water, maybe He can give me the power too. And Peter in faith says, Lord, if it's You, command me to come out to you on the water. And Peter looks at Jesus and not at the waves. And Peter walks on the water. But then he begins to lose faith because he's looking at the waves, at the turmoil of the sea. And as he loses faith, fear masters him and he begins to sink. And all this is beautiful. What does Peter do? Lord, save me. I'm sinking. And what does Jesus do? The passage says He immediately grabbed Peter by the hands and pulled him up. Immediately, when you need God's help, whatever you need to faithfully serve God, you will have it immediately. That's the kind of God we serve. The kind of God we serve is that He will never let us go. He will hold us. And He will be faithful to the end. So God's delays are delays of love. God's delays have positive purposes. God's delays are delays in which He will answer at the right time. And God will never delay the all-sufficiency of His grace, the help we need the most. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a great God. Oh Lord, we pray in the delays we're facing in our lives today and tomorrow, enable us to remember not to interpret Your love by our circumstances, but to trust Your love through our circumstances, and to remember, Lord, that Your delays are intended to strengthen our faith and love for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.